Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you that, Lord, the reason we're here is because we come here to glorify you, Lord. It's all about you. And Lord, we bring our hearts. I ask that you would fill it, Lord, as you always do, Lord. Keep us with your arms wrapped around us, Lord. If there are things that we may be going through this time, Lord, if there are any kind of trials or chaotic things that go on in our lives, Lord, we know you're with us. You walk with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And so we thank you, Lord, that we can always know that you never fail us, Lord, regardless of what it is, Lord. You never fail. So we thank you, Jesus. We praise you. And we just give our time, Lord, this day just to focus on you, Lord. May we keep our eyes on you this day, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. And if you want to sit for a while the communion lady comes up. And Linda, are you ready?
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I tell you, it's so exciting to be here. I don't know how many of you know, but I ended up having a pacemaker put in on Christmas Eve. Total shock. Yeah. Never had a heart problem before. Then I'd find out that I needed this emergency surgery. And I thought, I don't have a heart problem. I don't need to do this. Well, it turned out I had two surgeons in front of me telling me, yes, you do. The next time you have a dizzy spell, you may not come up through it. And so I talked to the Lord and I said, Lord, I'm ready to come to you, but I'm not ready to leave my family yet. And so he gave me life again. He restored me. He helped me to remain here. And I still have a job to do. And I was able to do that in the hospital. I had a nurse who was determined to get me out on Christmas Day so that I could go home and be with my family. And she was Jewish. And her and I, we had an amazing conversation. And then she told me her dad was in the hospital. And I was able to pray for her. I said, I want to pray for you, but I want you to understand something. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And I believe and pray in Jesus' name. And I said, so if I do, I'm going to pray in Jesus' name. Is that okay with you? And she said, yes. And so I prayed for her by the Holy Spirit. He gave me this most beautiful prayer. I was just the vessel. And she cried. And she says, thank you so much for taking care of that and for praying with me. And we talked a little bit more. And I was able to let her know that Jesus was there for her and her dad. And so while I just planted seeds, God still had a job for me to do. And so it's just amazing that no matter where we are and what we do, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit tell us to work in His name. And He gives us the words. I was nervous about telling her about the fact that Jesus is our Messiah. But then, you know, the Lord says, tell her, I prepared her heart. And He did. So I just want you to know that God is more than able to do whatever we need, wherever we are, and to use you for who you are. Yes. We don't want to be like each other. We don't want to be a copycat. We just want to be the person He created you to be, and it's your testimony that will reach others. So we talked about the Torah, we talked about, which is the first five books of the Bible. We talked about, you know, my trip to Israel, and it was amazing. And you know that I never saw the doctor that day, but she got me out. And so I was able to go home on Christmas Day, and I was able to go home and be with my family because God gave me more time. And so I have a job to do, but also you all do. And so today we're going to see a little video, and this video, the Lord showed this to me earlier in the week, And, you know, I thought, you know what? We all need this. We need a reminder of who he is and what he is in our lives. And so we're going to watch the video. Liz is going to put it on for us, and then we'll go into communion. Okay? Thank you, Liz. So doesn't that charge you up?
Yeah.
I thought, what a perfect way to start the new year, to know that he is all those things to us and more. I mean, that's just, believe it or not, that's the shortened version. Because it's over 7 minutes long. But the most important parts you saw. And the other part is that he is for you. Amen. Each and every one of us have him for ourselves. This is the one time we can be selfish. This is the one time that we can have that relationship that's all about him and you. You don't have to share him until you need to share him to give hope to others. So know that uniquely we are individual and we have a place. No matter what our life is and has been, we are able to minister to others each and every single day as the Lord leads. So just know that you're so precious to him. And it's so important. So today I wanted you to hear that. But like I said, it was him telling me, this needs to be renewed. People need to remember who I am. And so now you know, you've got a taste of that. Have that daily walk with him. You will be enriched beyond measure when you do. And so, you know, just know that God is with you. He is for you. He is behind you. He is beside you. He carries you. He does everything that's needed and that is necessary for your life to be strong and to just get through everything. It's not going to be easy. You're not going to have, you know, just happiness all the time, but you will have joy in the midst of whatever you walk through. And you will be able to minister to many, many people if you will just only listen to him say these words or do this thing, and he will touch hearts through you. And so don't let your goal in life be dismissed. Don't say, I'm too old, too young, too whatever, I'm not eloquent enough. Because you know what? When he fills his words in your mouth, you have eloquence beyond what you can even imagine. So thank God. Okay, so now I'm going to take communion. For those of you that may not know, you have two pieces together. The bottom is the bread. The top is the juice. So one second here. Let me get my scriptures. And yeah, and if everyone would please stand with me, if you're able to, please. So. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Please take the bread. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. If you could please take the cup. Thank you, Lord. So today is the first Sunday of this year where we have communion. It is a time for you to renew yourself, to be healed in mind, body, and spirit, and to know that it is the first day of this year in respect to communion, but also to know that you are loved and that you are precious in his sight. So thank you, Lord, for doing all of this in your name for all of us. Thank you, Father.
Amen. I just want to tell you all that this is my second time here. It's been a while. When I left, my father had to have an ablation. Well, he wound up having a heart attack. And they wound up telling me that he wasn't going to be able to be functional. Well, God is better than that, because he's so functional that I'm here today. And I don't have to be with him, and God is healing him. This song is so important. I was just talking to the pastor when I came in. I have a situation with one of my children. And he gave me confirmation. The Spirit told me to come here. He says, you better come here today. And I obeyed. One. Two is that when the Holy Spirit is with you. And three nights ago, I was on my knees and my weeping for my child. He accepted the Lord for one. And for two, the pastor gave me my confirmation that the Spirit's never wrong. Jesus is never wrong. God's never wrong, because he says, start praying over your child, and this is the song. So today, this is significant for me, that God can heal. We talk about lupus. My fibromyalgia's healed. God is amazing, okay? So when we rejoice, let's be rejoicing, you guys. And the one thing the Lord keeps on putting me on my knees, literally, and it's not always just, these are tears of joy, by the way, but when I'm on my knees and surrender, let's surrender to the Lord in our weeping, and then it becomes the rejoicing, because why? He's the Almighty. He is the all-knowing. He is the love. Talking about coming in where you're growing up situation, God raised me. Because my father was an alcoholic. But did he little know that God was healing my father of alcoholism and he quit drinking? Okay? So when you guys have that moment of not understanding, don't know what's going on, trust the Lord. When your spirit tells you, obey the Holy Spirit. And this rejoicing and the blessing on our families and breaking curses and breaking chains. Why? Because we're in freedom. We're in freedom. Amen. Let's all rejoice and praise the Lord in moments of all things. Matter of fact, Liz saw me last time I was driving, my arm out the window and singing and praising the Lord when I left church this last time. Okay? I pray over all the people I'm driving because God is so good. I don't want anyone to miss or to his essence and his love, his embrace, his joy. I mean, I could go out there and just stand on the mountaintop all day and praise his name. Okay, my neighbors hear me, trust me. 5:30 in the morning watching that sun come up, but it was gorgeous. God is the most amazing artist, marvelous, miraculous. So all I want to say is I have to leave for a little bit to go, and I would just ask for prayers for my son because I believe that he's to come here, and the Lord led me here to this church, and I just want to thank all of you for your love and your just your sweetness and just all of you, and just to see that God is upon you all. But I just my heart is just telling you, and my spirit, surrender. Let's just surrender and be in him at all times.
Say something real quick. Last Sunday, I gave a testimonial about my cancer and how God took care of me. You know, I sought the Lord, and he came to me, and he talked to me, and he helped me. But I forgot one very important thing on my recovery. It was my wife also taking care of me. So between God and my wife, I'm a new man.
You know, Gina and I were talking this morning, and I really liked what you had to say, because it's kind of been this thing even before service started, which is really cool to see how kind of just has continued. But it doesn't matter what you're going through in your life. God always knows what he's doing. It's us that looks at things as being bad or being good. But the Bible tells us that all things work together for good. So even when we have things that come up in our life, we should always be looking at them in this light of, okay, God, what you're doing is good. It takes a lot sometimes to see a situation that seems so bad to us and understand that the kingdom works in a different way. But it's exactly what God wants us to learn how to do. Because as we begin to see the world change around us and things don't look good to us, you're going to have a peace about what God's doing because he knows that he's working it all for good. Your life, if you're still here, he's still working. He still has things that he's doing. He still has things. That's why when we talk about, God, I want more, it's more of who he is in our life. Because the Bible talks about the transformation of our mind that begins to happen. And that happens through us going through things. That's why it's called a refining in the fire. It's not meant for us to look at it as, oh, I'm walking with you, God, but everything's always bad. It's meant for us to realize God is always building us in every single situation of our life. Not to bring us down, not to make it worse, but to build us up for what is still to come. Because what you see as something in your life right now that feels like a rough spot, He sees as preparation for what He's taking you to. Preparation for that more in your life. Preparation for the increase in your life. Preparation for everything that He wants to pour into it. Whew. Stop hanging on to moments in your life as bad moments. Because as long as you hold on to them as a bad moment, you will continue to see it as something bad, and it'll continue to drag you down. It's why He talks about pressing ahead. He doesn't tell you press back. He tells you press ahead. Because you're not meant to hold on to what happened yesterday, a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. He is meaning it for good in your life. So start asking Him what He has for you. Go after Him. Go after Him for what He's trying to give you. God's always got something for us. He's always doing something in our life. And it's always working together for good. God does not lie. The promises He gives you, they are promises in your life. They are always there for you. There are always something for you to stand on. It's why it's called having a firm foundation in God. Because as you have things come in your life, as you have things happening, that foundation is exactly, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Yeah. But it also says that His word is written upon your heart. It's why you don't have to do anything necessarily to minister to people. It's why you just gotta listen to God. We make it so difficult a lot of times because we see it as, what do we need to do? What do we need to change? What do we need to be doing to make this different? And all we gotta do is look to God. Because as we go after God, He'll tell us what to do. As we go after God, He directs the path. And the path is exactly what you don't, as you take in those words, it's writing upon your heart, and as He calls you, it comes forth. It's why you become so powerful. It's not because of who you are, but because of who He is within you. Because He knows what's happening tomorrow. He knows what's happening with the person next to you. He knows what's happening in every single thing that you do. It's what makes you the light and the salt. It's because now you're not just like everybody else. You're exactly like the one who created you. The one who knows everything that He's placed within you. The one who understands exactly what He has for you. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what comes up. It doesn't matter what's going on. Because He says that He has made you more than a conqueror in Christ. So stand on Him. It's those moments that we have to rejoice. It's those moments that we do have to praise through what's happening. It's why songs like this, oh, I just love them. I just love them because as we look at those words, it just, I mean, let's just look at this first verse. There's a name that levels mountains. It carves out highways through the sea. And I've seen its power unravel battles right in front of me. Because the Bible talks about us going through things and them building us. in multiple different ways, in the precept upon precept, in the refining by the fire, in all of these different areas. It talks about how these things that you go through will allow you to see God's hand in what He's doing in your life. And sometimes that battle is because we want to do it our way. And He's saying, let me take the reins and let me do it because I've already set you up for victory. But you got to get out of the way and let me do it for you. He's got things for you. He's got so much for you. That's where the more is. It's the more abundantly. It's the continuing to receive the secrets to the kingdom that keep unlocking things in your life. It's why the word is such a living word, because it goes and it grows with you, because God keeps showing you things, new things that He has for you. It's why you can read a scripture one day and the next day God just unlocks something completely different for you. This is the reason we don't play church. It's because God has stuff for you. And when He died upon that cross, He gave you a gift that you could go straight to the Father and that the Holy Spirit would reveal these things to you on a regular basis. This area right here is where, when you begin to function in the way that God has created you, when somebody asks you, how do you know God's real? Let me tell you all the ways that He's worked in my life. Let me tell you all the testimonies that He's done. Because it wasn't man who could do them. It was only through God that it could have happened. That it could be what it is today. That is what He does for people. That's the blessing that He gives us. That is why you will see things just change in your life.
I testified last Sunday. There's some new people here, so I'll tell you my name again. Hi, my name is Mercy. And the reason I say that is because I pray to God to give me mercy for my husband, because he's got arthritis and he hasn't been working. And I prayed, and God answered the prayer. He gave, his old boss called him and gave him a job. And Eddie did get up on Tuesday, and he went to work so happy.
Yeah.
And yet, 30 minutes later, he came back in the back door, the door, and I said, "What happened, Eddie?" And I just could see it in his face. I said, "Never mind. The enemy picked up the seed already." And well, anyways, they send Eddie home so Eddie doesn't have a job. But that's okay, because somebody told me, look, the Lord knows best. Maybe a big piece of furniture was going to fall on him and kill him. So, you know what? It's okay, because there's plenty of work at my house. So, you know, I just want to thank the Lord, because there's power in the name of Jesus. Because, you know, I'm still rejoicing over everything. You know, the enemy's not going to let me get down on this. My granddaughter had lost a baby 4 months. It was a baby girl. And the doctors told her she wasn't going to be able to have another baby. And I know the enemy's a liar. And I pray to God, God, you're not a liar. Let my granddaughter have a baby. And I'm going to be specific. Let it be a boy, because the father of the baby, he is an only child, the mom and the dad and the grandma. There's no other family. So I prayed for a boy, and the God answered the prayer. She got pregnant. The baby was born on that day that Eddie was sent home without a job. It's like, I got the good news. She has a girl. She's already 9 years old, and she came in and she goes like that to me, and I said, "What's the matter, Roulette?" And she showed me the bracelet. It said, "Big sister." I said, "Your mom had the baby." I mean, that girl has been through a lot. And it's nothing but miracles and testimonies. And I mean, I'm just going to make it short. I mean, the God answered the prayer, gave her a baby boy, after the doctor said she wouldn't be able to have kids. So, I mean, it's just a miracle right there. And it's like, and the other thing I wanted to say is, like, I want to thank God. Because of what happened to Betty and Oscar. They were coming home from the hospital. And they could have died on the way home. And they're here. So, you know, I want to thank God for my sister Betty and my brother Oscar. There's a lot to be thankful for, but there is power in the name of Jesus, and there's power in prayer. Yeah. And since I came to church today, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I feel the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. And on my testimony last Sunday, I said the year 23 ended not so good, but the year 24, I'm gonna make sure it's gonna be a good year. I'm not gonna let nothing negative come my way. So there's power in the name of Jesus. I've got the word on my walls in the kitchen, and I don't care who doesn't like it, but I need the word in my house. And thank God for prayer.
Oh, good morning, church.
Morning.
It sounds like a lot of good stuff happened, huh? Even in the midst of bad stuff. Yeah, I experienced a little bit of that myself. I don't know. You probably heard that earlier when my mom was giving communion. So, go ahead and stand with me, and let's just pray. Lord, I just ask you, be with us right now to make your presence felt. God, I just ask that you open up your word to us, that it's something that's life-changing. It's not just words we hear, but that we have understanding of them, that we know that they're living and active and they make a change in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I'm not one usually for like calling out sermon titles and stuff, but I did title this "Live Like Your Eternity Depends on It." The reason I say that is, you know, it's not so much because that's how we have our salvation. Ephesians 2, this is 8-9. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves; it is the gift of God." Not by works, so that no one can boast. Okay. As long as we believe in we've chosen God, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, you know, we have eternal life. But there's something else that we can receive. Does anybody know what that is? Rewards, right? Okay. Now, there are things, if we live a life here on earth, there's certain things we'll be rewarded with while we're here. You know, in this present state of the world. But, you know, when we actually finally see Jesus, see God face to face, there is a different thing we receive, and that's a reward. Okay, there's there's a parable that talks about a wise and a foolish builder, and it talks about how everything you do is going to be tested. So I don't want anybody to be like frightened or scared that their salvation isn't there, because it is. Because when it comes to the foolish and wise builder, it talks about how everything's going to be tested with fire, how what isn't of any value is just going to be burned up. And that even the person who, let's say, was a foolish builder, that they're going to escape with their lives. They'll still be saved. But as if one just barely escaping. So, but think about that. Like, you know, being in paradise, being in heaven, right? I don't think that those like levels are really going to matter so much, right? That you didn't get rewarded. I mean, you still get to be there with God. That's still amazing, isn't it? Yes, you're going to be so happy you're not even going to remember. You're not even going to see those differences. There's going to be no envy, no jealousy. But let's look at 1 Timothy 6, and this is 18 through 19. And this is Paul talking to Timothy about wealthy people who are rich in the body of Christ. And it says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of a life that is truly life. The life that we're living now, it's life, but like after when we're with God, that's going to be an amazing life. That's the true life. That's the life we have to keep our eyes on. Because ultimately, that's the one we're going to spend the most time in. Eternity, right? Okay, right now, this is just a blip. Just a small little section of time. In Revelation 22:12, it says this. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. Now, even as believers, we do have all of our sins are forgiven. Okay, but we're still going to have to stand before God, and we're still going to have to give an account of everything that we've done in life. And I you know, I've said this many times. I'm sure people have said it before, but you know, I want to hear that. Well done, good and faithful servant. Right? Because, and it's not because I want to get something. It's because then I know that I've pleased God, that I've made him happy. Because see, our attitude is supposed to be like one of love, not doing something to get something. So in Matthew 6, and this is verses 19 through 21, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in. I think I put that in there twice. Sorry. Break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the other thing, too, is that if we truly treasure what's to come, that's where our heart is going to be. That's where our affection's going to be. Okay, if we love things of the world, well, that's where our mind is. That's where our heart is. That's what we're going to be working and striving for. You know, just pleasing ourselves while we're here, entertaining ourselves, just doing things where we, you know, find comfort, however temporary it may be. But if our focus is on God and heaven, we'll always have joy. We will always have peace. Always. Even in difficult situations. So, I will say this. The greatest hindrance to us doing anything of value is ourselves. If you feel like you haven't accomplished anything with your life, ask yourself what you haven't done for God. Because if you do things for God, He's going to make it all succeed. And I know that by, you know, just what Scripture tells me. In Ephesians 2:10, it says this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." So it's not up to us to have a plan for our lives. It's not up to us to solve problems. It's not up to us to figure things out. God has already set that up for us. It's just our choice. It's just us having to choose to accept that. And the thing is, you know, it may seem like, well, God just wants me to have this boring, unfulfilling life. These things I can't do that I see other people doing that I think is so fun and amazing, I want to do that. But you don't realize once you start doing what God's called you to do, you're going to be doing something far more amazing than what you imagine that is. So, as I said, you know, we have a plan that comes from God. We just have to know God in order to know the plan. 2 Peter Chapter 1, and this is verses 3 to 4, it says this: "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness." So we have everything we need for a godly life through what? Knowledge of Him. That's why it's so important we study the Word, that we know God, right? That we pray to Him. We talk, we commune, we serve Him. The more we know God, the more that we know God, the more we're able to live a godly life. And it says, "Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." So any desires that you have aren't of God. And if you know God, He'll take you away from those. Yes. If you find trouble in your life, try knowing God more, right? And the other thing it says in that scripture is that you get to participate in the divine nature. Knowing God helps you become a participant in His kingdom. It like, I wouldn't be here if I didn't know God, right? So it's like, yeah, hope so. Yeah. But if I didn't know God, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have done a lot of things that I've done in my life. I mean, there's so many times I'm just like standing somewhere. I'm like, how did I even end up here? I shouldn't be here, right? Not because it's a bad thing, but because it's like, who am I? Like, why was I chosen for this? How did I make it here? Like the job I have right now, I work in forensics in a crime lab. I'm the only person in there without a degree, right? And it's required now. It's like, how did I get here? How did I do all this? It's like, because I didn't. Because God did it. And I just said, okay, God, what's the plan? Do I go with this? Do I go with that? Do I do this? Do I do that? And I followed it, right? And the more that we follow God and the more that we know Him, the more all of us will have experiences like that. Like, there's no other way than to say God did it, right? Where we have a testimony to say, God put me here. And that people will be able to see the glory of God through that. That, you know what, I want to follow that God. Because He is true, He is powerful, He's loving and caring. I want that. Matthew chapter 6. This is verses 31 and 33. And then before this, it talks about how all the animals are taken care of, the plants, how beautiful they look, flowers. It says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So, we don't have to worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, where we're going to live, what we're going to, how we're going to provide for ourselves. Now, it doesn't mean we don't have to do any work, right? Okay. Like, God, just send it to me. No. But the answers that you need are going to come from God. Because you are much more valuable and precious to him than the animals and the plants that he created. And they're already taken care of, right? So we know we have everything we need. We don't have to go seeking out stuff. So far, we have a plan. We have, knowledge, promises that we can stand on, that we can have in order to live a godly life. He's going to take care of us. And then also in 2 Timothy, this is chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Okay, so besides all that provision, we also have his Spirit, right? Amen. In John chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, it says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So, we have his Spirit. He gives us power. He gives us self-control. The ability to love, not as the world loves, but as God loves. We also have the Holy Spirit as an advocate, a counselor, someone who will remind us of the things we've read, the things we've done, the things we've learned, that will give us peace when it's difficult. It's kind of funny right now. I'm getting choked up, but... my mom, as you heard, she had a pacemaker 2 weeks ago and put in her. And while it was happening, it was so weird. I wasn't scared. I wasn't super concerned. And it's not because I didn't care. It's because I had the Holy Spirit. It's because I had God. At peace, I knew that everything was going to be okay. And the only thing that I was really struggling with is okay, God, if I'm going to do these things, you got to do it for me. There was the first night when I left her in the ER, it was 11:30. And my mom can be a bit of a silly person. This was the day before Christmas Eve, and she really wanted to make sure something happened. And I made sure it partly happened, Mom, because I had to be somewhere, but she wanted to make sure her charcuterie got to the party we're going to be at the next day. So I made sure to go on the way home to her house, pick all the stuff up. And she's like, make sure you get the recipes. And I'm like, why do they need recipes? Because that tells you how to make it look like a Christmas tree and a candy cane. But You know, I did it because I knew it was on her mind and it was troubling her. No matter how silly it is, I did it because I loved her, right? So then I went home. I thought, okay, I'm just going to be able to go to sleep now. But I get a call at 2 in the morning, well, 2:30, and I just actually laid down at 2. And they said, well, you're going to need a pacemaker and there's going to be surgery, you know, in the morning, later in the morning. And, you know, I asked if I could go. So I went back to Tucson. So, you know, it's just like the thing, it was like mostly is just like, Lord, just keep me awake, keep me aware. That's all I need. But knowing what would happen to my mom, you know, I had peace that she was going to be all right, that she's going to be okay. You know, if we rely on God and we rely on the Holy Spirit, we're not going to panic in situations. We're not going to try to search out our own answers. So that peace is important. That we just, if we're struggling about anything, that we actually rely on the Holy Spirit, not on ourselves. But just know that you have the Holy Spirit. If you think God's far away, he's not. He's always with you. If you're a believer in Christ, you have God living within you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is verse 7. It says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. What this is talking about is spiritual gifts. And if you haven't read about them, you can read about them in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Big chapters on them. But the important thing to know is that we are all given gifts. Okay. These talents that we can use to serve God. It's not for ourselves, it's for the common good. When we start using our gifts, we can actually like find a peace and a joy that we didn't have before. Okay. I'll tell you, like, Pastor probably not going to be happy hearing this, but I've been tired lately, but I will say that I know if I come to church and if I do what God is asking me to do, I'm not going to be tired. Okay. He gives me strength. Like right now, I like doing this. I love doing this. It doesn't matter how tired I am. Right? Because I know this is where I should be right now. And as I said, you know, God is, I believe, you know, God's gifted me, you know, in certain areas. And I love using my gifts. Amen. So make sure that besides just, you know, knowing God, you actually serve God, right? Not out of obligation, but because you love him. Amen. That's something we all need to learn, is just to love God more, because that's when things get really easy. Right? It's just doing things for God is easy when we actually love him. Because, I mean, think about somebody you love. I mean, why do you do things for them? Do you do it out of the obligation? Or do you do it because you love them? You want to make them happy. Motivation is important. God looks at our hearts. Okay? If we're doing something just because we feel obligated or we think it's going to get us something, then we're doing it for the wrong reason. So, it says in Ephesians 4, and this is 11 through 12. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So besides his spirit, which can teach us and remind us of things, he's also given us his church, those around us, the body, and Jesus is the head. But he gave us all this so that we have a way to learn from one another, to serve one another. And to most importantly, serve God. So the reason we talked about all these different scriptures throughout the Bible is that to show you that you have everything you need. Everything. To live a godly life, to live one that's productive in the body of Christ. You have everything. Because as I said before, the greatest hindrance to anything that we could do of any value is ourselves. We have all these other things that God has given us to make sure we're able to do what we need to do. And it's easy to have our minds focused on what's temporary instead of what's eternal. Because, you know, when we don't see God standing before us like in bodily form, and if we haven't talked to him or spent time with him in a while, it's easy to forget him. Especially if everything's going well. We don't need him to provide for us or to heal us. And it's easy to become distracted when your bills are due and you don't know where the money's going to come from. Or when you lost someone. Somebody's sick. Are you hurting or lonely? Because we want our answers right away a lot of times. And it's hard for us to be patient. But that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Something that God has given us. The ability to be patient. We don't need to lean onto our own patience. But the Spirit's patience. It's just this thing where we need to let God lead our lives. We need the Spirit to be the thing that leads us and not our flesh. You know, we need to go to God for every need. For every decision we have, we need to have an understanding of his word, of him and his plan for our life, so that we make the right choices. We need to remember his promises because he always keeps them. And they will always keep us. But the problems can occur when we begin to doubt, or like I said, become impatient. When we try to answer instead of God. Or if we love our sin more than we love God, and we tell the Holy Spirit to be quiet. In Hebrews 5:11, it says this. I didn't give you this, but you no longer, it was this thing where they're talking about, so by now some of you should have been teachers. But just before that, it says, you no longer try to understand. So it's this thing where there are people that were gathering together, church, okay, not the building, the people, and they were supposed to know, they should have learned a whole lot, but it never got put into practice. And it got to the point of where if they actually listened to what was being said, it would be convicting. it'd be something that they didn't really want to pay attention to. Right? So, you know, if you're having any struggles or troubles in your life right now, it could be just that you're going through something. Like, I'm sure that's kind of like what my mom's going through. you can learn from anything, and God will work it together for his good. But if we have to search our hearts, we have to ask ourselves, am I trying to stop understanding what you're telling me? Am I truly trying to learn from you, God? Am I trying to truly put into practice what you're showing me? So we need to have a different mindset. And this is what 2 Corinthians says. This is chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. And even though things may seem really terrible, really bad, they really are, like this first verse says, light and momentary. It says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So remember, God is always with you, always watching. He wants the best for you. His commands that he gives us aren't so that he can find a way to punish us, but he wants us to live the best life we possibly can. The most rewarding one, one that's full of peace and joy and love. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I was talking to the youth group and I was talking about, you know, if I tell my son, like, hey, don't touch the oven, it's hot. I mean, am I telling him that because I'm just waiting to spank him or something? No. I'm telling him that because I don't want him to get burned. You know, I could tell you, we were actually here, I don't remember, sometime during the week. It was like Thursday, Friday. Or lately, days seem to blend together for some reason. I don't know. But it's right. No, just kidding. So we were here, and I came to get the SD card for the podcast. And I saw him. He's coming out, and we're headed back out to the truck. And he was doing this weird little crab dance thing, and he was going kind of crazy, and he's like, hey, whoa. He's like, you need to calm down, man. It's like you're out of control. You're going to get hurt. And so I turn around, and then I hear him start crying, right? I just open up the door, grab something, turn around, and he's already crying, right? You know? And what had happened is he tripped and he fell and he hit his knee on the curb, right? But yeah, I mean, just moments before, I was telling him, was like, it wasn't even that long that he forgot what I had told him. It's like, you know, look, you're going too crazy. You're out of control. You're going to get hurt. Calm down. Okay. He was still out of control and crazy. He got hurt. Okay. But you know, that happens a lot of times with us as Christians. Right? God's like, look, you're out of control. You're getting too crazy. You're going to get hurt. And if we don't listen, we don't heed that warning, what's going to happen? Yeah. So that's why God gives us his word and his spirit to protect us, to keep us, to help us live, like I said, that life that is best. It's good. Full of joy, peace, love. Also, it's easy to as we were talking about before, it's easy to get distracted, right? Because, you know, we don't really have God standing right in front of us. We don't see him physically standing in front of us. And if we don't see something, a lot of times we just forget it's there, right? And we know the Spirit of God lives in us. But for some reason, sometimes we just forget that. You know, more and more I hear that, you know, like the world is so ugly right now. It's terrible. You see everything out there? Huh. This country. Everything. So, you know, there's a lot of people too. We even say, you know, there is no way to fix this. God come now. Right? It's like they're only Jesus returning will like fix this whole situation. Right? But isn't that us giving God the answer? Right? I mean, he changed the world with like 12 disciples. Right? How many churches we got around this world? Okay. So why is it we think that the only choice is for Jesus to return? It's not. Okay, we're supposed to be busy until the end. We don't know when he's coming back. Yeah, things may look terrible, but we have God, right? Okay, Jesus is a redeemer, right? And this is a world that needs redeeming. So it's up to us to do the work that God has given us. If you want to see a difference, just be the person you're supposed to be. If you want to see this world improve, live the life you're supposed to live. Don't listen to somebody you saw on the internet, some forum you read, you know, what your friends are telling you. Okay. God is the only one with the answer. The only one. You know, with everything, you go to God and say, hey, is this true? Show me. You know, there's people that look for answers in anything, right? There's people that will forget all those promises I just read to you. And then they'll try to blame it on something else. It's like, yeah. You know, the big thing is that, like, if you want to see a difference in the world, just pray to God. Ask him what your part is. And then do it. You'll probably be surprised by his answer. He might, instead of Jesus returning, he might be like, well, you change the world. You be the salt and the light. You show the kingdom on this earth. So, like I said before, it's not too hard to do these things, right? If we try to do it under our own power, yeah, it's difficult. Probably not going to succeed. But if we do it under God's power, his direction, his leading, his guiding, he wants us to do it, his will, then we will succeed. We will be able to do it. John chapter 15, and this is verses 4 through 5, says this. It says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So this is Jesus talking about the parable of the vine. And God, the Father, is the one who is the vine dresser. He takes care of the vine. And Jesus is the vine. So this is telling us we need to remain in Jesus. We need to be close to him. We need to actually live our life for him. And that's how we can bear fruit. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay. So let me finish with this scripture here. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It's going to be really long because it's in the Amplified, but I just wanted to take a look at it through here because I think that, you know, sometimes when we read the word, we can kind of just keep reading it and reading it and reading it and seeing the same thing when we should be seeing different things, right? Because it's possible. It's living and active. We can see something different in the same word. But sometimes when we see the word just put a little bit differently, I think it'll reveal something to us. So it says this: I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word as an official messenger. So that's something for all of us, though. We are supposed to make disciples, right? We're supposed to spread the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then it says this: be ready when the time is right, and even when it is not. In the King James, I believe it says, be prepared in season and out of season. Keep your sense of urgency. Like, make sure that God is always important. He is always your priority. Whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether welcome or unwelcome. You know, I'm sure that today pastor would have told me if I told him earlier, is like, hey, I don't really want to do it this week. He would have been, okay. Right? Right. Because I'll tell you. I mean, getting ready for this wasn't very convenient. The amount of time I'd have to spend wasn't super welcome, although I love doing this, right? It wasn't exactly favorable. But I knew that this is what I was supposed to do. And I know it especially probably wasn't welcome or favorable or convenient for my wife or my mom either. especially my wife, because, you know, she's got to take care of two children. Just kidding. Three? You can't be? Yeah. I love you, Mom. Yeah. It's hard to keep her from doing things. She's super active. She's like the kid. Maybe I could just... We just need to put in like a play gate. Yeah. She can't get over that. Neither can Ben. Well, maybe Ben, but not her. But So I'm going to be in a lot of trouble after this. But the thing is, you know, there's going to be times in our lives where things aren't going to be convenient, where, you know, we may be planning something. And like, I even wrote this down, wasn't sure I didn't put it, but like, even after church, think about going to lunch, right? Think about, like, if people were waiting, would you be like super concerned about going so that you could go and do that? Right? Like, is there somebody in your ear telling you, oh, we got to go. And you're like, okay, that's what's important. But then, like, the Holy Spirit's telling you, is like, no, you got to stay. And maybe it's not even to pray for somebody or anything, but maybe it's just for you to sit in silence and pray yourself somewhere, right? And it's like, God's asking you, is like, I need you to do this now. Would you be distracted because it wasn't convenient, because it wasn't favorable, because it wasn't welcome? We need to find it in ourselves that if God is telling us or leading us to do something, that we actually do it when he's asking us. That even though it's this thing where it's hard to do, maybe somebody's going to be upset with you because you're going to show up late. Or, you're going to miss being on time for something else. Yep. That if God is asking you to do it, do it. Yes. Because God knows that you had some plans. God knows there's other people there. But you know what? The greater reward comes from doing what God's going to do, what God's having you do, rather than what you were planning on doing. Amen. It could even be just a test. It's like, okay, you say you follow me. You say I'm your priority. Show that to me. He goes on to say this. Correct those who err in doctrine or behavior. Warn those who sin. Exhort and encourage those who are growing towards spiritual maturity with inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. This is important, but only if we do it in the right way. Not if we're trying to come to somebody in some kind of arrogant, I'm better than you way and say, look, you're sinning, or no, you got that wrong. Everything we do should be done out of love, and it should be done patiently. We don't use harsh words. We use loving words. Last time Rebecca preached, she was talking about Kat Von D, right? How she completely turned her life around, baptized and everything, and a lot of the harshest critics she had were Christians. It's like, should we really be that? There's people at all different levels of their spiritual journey, right? Their journey with Christ. And to become that mature person God's calling us to be. Now, one of the top levels of maturity, I think it was in the same chapter where it talks about, I talked about earlier, where it talks about the divine nature. And it talks about how one matures and the different things that they build and build and build. And one near the end, it says mutual affection. So that means loving people that love you. But it ends in love. Okay? That's if people love you or not. That's if people treat you well or not. That you still treat them with love. So, with all that, I just want you to know that we should be focused on eternity. Okay, we should be focused on God and what His will is, not our own. And our lives are going to be so much different for it, so much better for it. So, Pastor, would you? Yeah.
Praise God. Hey, let's give Ava a hand for the word.
Is it on? Yeah, it's on. Is it on? Yeah. You know, it's one of those things. I knew that Abe had a busy week that week when I said, no, I'm going to give him a call. I'm going to remind him that, yeah, that it is his month. It is his week. It is his Sunday to do. And it's funny because in my heart, when I called him, I knew he was going to say, yeah, okay, all right. And he did. What God calls you to do sometimes isn't convenient. Can you say amen? Sometimes it's going to move your schedule around. Is that okay? But how many know that when you do it, just like Abe said, when you do it, there is a joy that comes behind it because you did what God told you to do. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Thank you, Abe. Thank you, Abe. Thank you. God bless you, Matt. Hey, I love that word. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How many say amen to that? How many of you know everything that God has given you? Not a one of you. You might think, yeah, I know everything. No, you don't. He's given you so much more than what you've got right now. Can you say amen? Because he has, but it takes events in your life, and it takes prayer. It takes walking with God so that you can see the things that he's given you, and he'll strengthen those things every time you go to him. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I appreciate every one of you. And can you all stand? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. Amen. Hey, I just want to say that I believe that God's kingdom is getting ready to be revealed in the earth. He's going to reveal it through all of us. Can you say amen? And I believe that, hey, if you got nothing to do on Wednesday night, praise God, come to the Bible study, because Randy did the last Wednesday night on the kingdom of God. And it is, the words that's being spoken are incredible. They really are. Randy, thank you for bringing that message of the kingdom. He's been, I don't know how many more you got, 10, 20? Yeah, who knows? Yeah, he's got, but folks, the kingdom of God is invading the earth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We are at a time where, you know, it's not time where we should be looking to get out of here. Is that okay? It is a time to say, God, what do you want me to do? And it takes focus on who God is. Can you say?
Amen.
It takes you taking time to focus on him. We're going to be talking about all year long, I think, not every Sunday, because I'm like, that'd be real cruel to you. But we're going to be talking about personal time with God. How much personal time do you spend with God? Is that okay? I will say that Christians will do everything. They'll go to concerts. They'll go to great, I mean, they'll drive, they'll fly all the way to Washington, D.C. to pray with a million Christians on the, what do you call that? The mall, yeah. But their own personal time with God, they got nothing. Can you guys understand why God might be saying, I'm expecting my kids in my presence by themselves? Is that okay? Because, you know, folks, we've gone a long way. Can you say amen? But yet we haven't learned anything. We serve an all-powerful God that says, I've called you for this time. I've called you to do these things. And yet we don't even take the time to work with him. We do what we want to do, and we only say what we want to say, and we don't spend the time to find out that God might be saying something different to us, trying to get us to do something different. We plan and we forget about him. This year is going to be about your personal time, who you are in Christ, for him to build you and strengthen you like never before. The last scripture that Abe brought on was the scripture of my calling, what God spoke to me when he called me. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's the word that God gave me. I said, I don't know how to do that. I don't even want to do that. I don't want to reprove. I don't want to exhort. And I didn't want to do that. But God said, I'm going to have you do it, Henry, because my people need to hear. And I said, Lord, nobody listens to me. And I tell Rosie that all the time. Nobody listens to me. Why would they listen to me? He says, because my spirit will be coming through you, and it will touch those that will listen. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Lord says, what the Spirit says. Amen? Let them hear. Amen? So, I shouldn't even worry about who's listening, who's not listening. But all I know is that God is doing a work with the body of Christ like never before. Get ready. You got to find your time in his presence. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for 2024. Father, 2024, we want more. We are free from 2023, so 2024, we want more. And Lord, as we spend time with you, Father, show us more and more and more of what you've called us to, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed. God bless you this week. Amen. Talk to somebody about Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
As he leads you. Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today.
Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.